Okay, if you've got a Bible open in front of you, that's going to help as we look through Psalm 103. I've hit that age where now government departments tend to get in touch with me to tell me that it is time to get health checks done. 50, in case you're wondering, 50 plus. I thought it was the stage where you raised your bat and just acknowledged that you'd done a great job in staying alive for half a century, but no, there's more to it. You do get notifications that there are certain things you should do to maintain your health and to make sure that you will remain reasonably fit and healthy for hopefully, God willing, a few decades to come. That's me. That's a lot of you as well, and those who are younger amongst us, that's coming. There is a time when you need to start checking things and making sure that you're all okay. So what I want to do today is to do not a general health check, not the checks that the government send out to you, but a spiritual health check to see how you are going with the Lord. As we start the year, how are you feeling? How are you travelling? I don't want to receive answers out loud, but think to yourself, what category of the following do you fit into? Three different categories I'm going to give us. There might be fourth or fifth that you want to put yourself in, but let me give you a suggestion as you do your own spiritual health check as to where you are at. First one is, do you feel energized and excited and spiritually refreshed? As we read Psalm 103, were you someone who could sing along with King David, praise the Lord, and for that to feel genuine? Do you fit in that category of being vibrant and healthy with your relationship with God? If that's you today, then today as we look at Psalm 103, what we do is going to help you maintain that state throughout this year. Now, I think probably there's a fair few who fit this second category. Is this you? Are you flat, low on energy? Not physically, but low on energy for a relationship with God. Do you feel spiritually down? Not excited at all about your relationship with God. You feel like you're going through the motions as you gather together with God's people. Friend, today we'll give you a pathway to lifting yourself out of that flat spot as we look at Psalm 103. Third and last category, this might be you. You're here because you're investigating Jesus. You're not sure where you stand with God, but you think there is something to check out here. It is worth knowing where you are travelling with God. If that's you, you're here because you're investigating Jesus, then here is a great place for you to be. And as we look at Psalm 103, it's going to show you why God is so worthy of your praise and why you should stand with King David singing God's praises with every part of your being. Perhaps you fit into one of those three categories. Let's dive into Psalm 103. As Graham read Psalm 103 for us, he read of David, that little inscription right at the top of your Psalm 103 in your Bible, which actually tells us who wrote the psalm, which is helpful for us. It's scripture and we ought to be reading it as we gather together and read. And it tells us that this is written by a man who knew hardship and difficulty. He knew near-death experiences, he knew the loss of a psalm, and he's the writer of many of our psalms. So David writes to us. Let's look at it together. Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2. David writes this, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." See what David is doing? A big part of what he's saying here is he is speaking to himself. He's not necessarily speaking directly to God. He's encouraging himself to praise the Lord. He speaks to his own soul to say, to me, praise God from all of who I am and forget not the benefits of God. He's encouraging himself to remember God's goodness to him. And if you look down to the end of the psalm, verse 22, he speaks again directly to do the same thing, now not to him, but to us. At the end, in verse 22, he says, "Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion." Friends, what we read is a 3,000-year-old encouragement from a great king of Israel for us to do what David encourages himself to do. The encouragement is all his works everywhere in his dominion. Which means us, as we gather together at Stromlo, that we should be people who praise the Lord. And that's our take home for today. We should go day by day, not just today, but every day, praising the Lord. If you're here today in that second category and you're saying to yourself, there isn't one part of my being that feels like that. I don't inherently feel like praising God from the depths of my soul, then firstly, I get it. But secondly, there's deep encouragement in Psalm 103 as to why we should be people who praise God from the depths of our soul. And the rest of the psalm shows us what God has done and who God is. It dives into God's character and action to convince us that God is worthy of praise from all of our soul. So if you scan through verse 3 to 5, 3 to 5, King David tells us that God is the one who forgives sins, who heals disease, who redeems life, who acts with love and compassion, who satisfies desires with good. David remembers the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God, as God has acted in his own life. Now, David is no fool. He knows trouble. He knows life is not always healing from disease. He's lost a son. But he reminds himself of God's good care for him throughout different stages of his life in order to bring himself to praise of the Lord. David knows that life can be full of difficulties, but at a time when you and I need to be encouraged to praise God, David remembers those times in his own experience, in his own life, when God has been wonderfully good to him. Now, the reality is that Scripture is clear, even in difficulties, even in very hard times in life, God is still at work for good for those who love him. But if we're going to drive ourselves to praise of God, to praise the Lord, then we need to remember those times in God, in our own personal history when God's been good. Then King David moves on in verse 7 to remember God's action in history to all of his people. Verse 7 says, "He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel." Now, King David writes to a people who know their Old Testament. They know the history of how God has dealt with his people, with the people of Israel. And so this simple verse brings to mind all of God's mighty saving works, to redeem a people for himself from slavery in Egypt and to bring them into the promised land and to bless them. And David reminds himself and us of how God has acted throughout all history to save a people to himself. See, we know God by seeing how God acts. I'm coming up to nearly 1 year of gathering together with you to do church together. Towards the end of January last year, feels funny, doesn't it? Straight away. Last year, nearly 12 months ago, I started work here at Stromlo. I was unknown to most of you and you were unknown to me. How do we get to know each other? How is it that we figure out who each other is? Well, you look at what I say and what I do, and I look at what you say and what you do in order to know you. And so over time, we know each other. We've gotten to know each other over the last 12 months or so. We do that by seeing how we act and what we do, what we like and dislike. And we know God by looking at how he has acted and what he has said in the past. And David does this to remind himself to praise the Lord by looking at how God has acted in his own life and how God has acted in history. So having seen how God acted in history, David can know God's character through knowing his actions. That's what David knows, and he tells us in verse 8 to 13 of the character of God. Verse 13 through to verse 18. He says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. What do we learn of the character of God? Three things in these verses. We learn of God's love, God's forgiveness, and God's compassion. And all three of those things are going to drive David and should drive us to praise the Lord. We're going to learn of God's love, God's forgiveness, and God's compassion. Firstly, God's love. It's verse 11. As high as heavens are above the earth, so great is his love. We're not supposed to use this as a particular distance measure to be able to quantify the love of God, that it equals that distance, the distance between the heavens and the earth. What we're supposed to see is an immeasurable distance from our earth to the heavens as like or comparable to the love of God. That great distance from us to the stars is equivalent to the incredible greatness of the love of God for us. God's forgiveness, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. Now, modern air travel has kind of, shrunk our world. Not in reality, has it? But actually, it feels like we live in a much smaller world because the other side of the world is about a day's travel away in a plane. East and west are separated by around about 24 hours for us. But in David's day, that distance between east and west is massive. In fact, it's immeasurable. And so David, who would have taken weeks and weeks to travel to the furthest known places, tells us that God's forgiveness is like that. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed our sins or our transgressions or our iniquities from us. God's forgiveness is so great that it looks like that removal from the east, from the west, for our sins. Praise God for his forgiveness. And lastly, God's compassion. Verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. I'm a dad to four kids with my wife, Jen. We had our first daughter way back in the year 2000. Seems like a very long time ago. We just married her off in December, which felt very much like the end of an era for us. Ellie was born at Orange Base Hospital after a very long labour. Fairly traumatic labour for a father who'd never had seen a child born before. I was a bit of a wreck at the end of the experience. Jen perhaps even more so. She needed to stay and get some medical help, but I had this baby in my hands, this much-awaited little baby girl that we'd longed for so long. And I remember I left Jen in the birthing suite and took her out to the grandparents because she was going to take quite a long while to be ready to do anything. I took this little baby girl, this little Ellie, and brought her to the grandparents. And I held her. And I held her. And I held her. And I know now that my mother-in-law said he was never going to give that baby up. She's a mum to six kids. She loves babies. She longed for nothing else but a cuddle. But my love for that girl meant if I had a chance, I would never let her go. And I knew what it was like for my parents to love me. I had a better heart for a father's compassion for a child. Friends, our God has compassion like a father to us. God's love is as great as the distance between the heavens and the earth. His forgiveness as complete as the east is from the west. And his compassion, like a father has compassion on a child. Who wouldn't want to praise the Lord when you know his character and his actions? Who is it that benefits from all this, from God's incredible love and compassion and forgiveness? Well, it comes up time and again in these verses. Have a look at verse 11. This is who benefits from God's love and compassion and forgiveness. Verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Verse 17, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. Friends, forget not the benefits of the Lord. They go to anyone who fears the Lord. Scripture's clear. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to know how to live wisely in our world, fear God. What does it mean to fear God? It means, firstly, knowing that God is the judge of all people, that all of us will stand before God as judge. But as you fear the Lord, as you know that truth about God, if you know that, and you also know the God of Psalm 103, the God of love and forgiveness and compassion, then that fear of the Lord won't be a crippling fear. Knowing this God means we will know how to avoid his judgment. And that means running to the God who judges, not running away from God. We run to the God who judges in order to find the God who saves, the God of love and forgiveness and compassion. Psalms points us to the history of how God has dealt with the nation of Israel over many centuries, of how God made himself known as the gracious and compassionate God to Moses and to Israel. And King David looks back to the history of God's gracious dealing with them, which is a wonderful encouragement to the first readers of Psalm 103 to have their trust in God, to turn to God in praise. But you and I have a huge advantage here today as we sit in Canberra, 3,000 years on from King David, because we know the God of Scripture and we know the person of Jesus. David met the God of the universe in the pages of Scripture as he acted in his life. But you and I can know the God of Scripture as we meet the person of Jesus. Because in Jesus we see the God of love and forgiveness. In Jesus we know the heart of God like a father with compassion for us. Because in Jesus we see the love of God our Father, who in this incredible act of compassion and love, forgives all of our sins, removes all of our sins as far as the east is from the west, by laying them all on Jesus at the cross, by laying all of his just judgment on the person of Jesus, on God himself. 1 John 4 verse 10 explains how this works. John tells us, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Friends, we get a better picture of the love of God for us when we look to the historical event of the cross, where Jesus lays down his life and God shows us his compassion for us. If you start this year feeling spiritually flat, finding it difficult to read your Bible or to gather together with God's people, is it because you've failed to remember this God? If that's you this year, forget not all his benefits. This year, do what King David was reminding himself to do. Forget not all his benefits. If you start this year investigating Jesus, not really sure where all this is headed, but keen to know more about the story of what God's done for you in Jesus, then keep investigating. And forget not all his benefits. See them. Dive in and investigate who God is and what he's done for you. Look into how God has acted compassionately for your benefit. And friends, if you've started this year truly praising the Lord for everything he's done for you in Christ, with a clear vision of the cross, with a clear understanding that has hit your head and your heart, where you can see the God of incredible love, forgiveness, and compassion, then forget not all his benefits for this year. You and I and King David can all be drawn away, no matter who we are, can all be drawn away from knowing the God of compassion. We can easily forget what God has done for us and fail to praise the Lord. Don't do that. Remember all of God's benefits. This year, build in constant reminders of God's action and character. Be in the Word of God. Join up to a small group, to a life group here at Stromlo as the year starts. Sign up to read your Bible regularly. You can do that with Robert Murray McShane's Bible in a Year reading program. Grab another Christian person and commit to encouraging one another to be in the Word daily. And commit to being here to gather together with God's people at Stromlo every Sunday that you are fit and well. Every Sunday that you can, so that you could encourage one another. Push one another along to forget not the benefits of God. Friends, guard against forgetting the Lord and forgetting his love, forgiveness, and compassion this year. David finishes this psalm by answering the question, how do we respond to this God who has shown us such incredible love and forgiveness and compassion? How should you and I actually respond? He says, verse 20, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Friends, God's acted in history to show us his incredible love, forgiveness, and compassion. It's too small a thing for just King David to sing the praises of God. He calls on the whole heavenly hosts, all of God's angels, all of God's messengers, to cry out, praise the Lord. And then he turns to us. God's works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord. May that be me and you this year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you for your love, forgiveness, and compassion, for you are slow to anger, abounding in love, compassionate and gracious. Heavenly Father, this year, by your word and the power of your Spirit, help us to remember your benefits, that we might stand together with King David, praising you all of our days. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.